up tonight, I just feel that all of our eyes close. But sometimes there's some things that try to separate us from God's love. But God's word says this, that neither height nor depth, nor principalities or powers, nor things seen, what things in the future, neither height, no matter what it is, no mountain, no valley, can separate me. Come on, grab that. Can separate me from His love for me. Can separate me. There's nothing. There's no sin. There's no thing in the past. There's no things in the future. There's nothing that can keep His love from touching my heart. Tonight, God, I pray to God, Lord. That God, Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that You move in our hearts, God, Lord, that Your love, hallelujah, touches us, God. Like never before, God, I ask to God. Lord, we're desperate for You, God. Lord, there's darkness around. There's hurts and there's pains. There's evil, God, Lord. There's people with hatred. But God, I know a God that loves. I know Your love, God. I know Your compassion. I know, God, for You so loved the world that You gave Your only begotten Son. It's Your nature to give. You desire so much for Your people to know You. To know Your greatness. To know who You are. To release Your love, that we can experience that greatness. Nothing on earth can experience what we do. Not trees or rocks or rivers or valleys or animals. But we have something. Not the angels. But we have this love that God wants to give us. Do you believe that tonight? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, speak to our hearts. To our hearts, God. I pray to God, Lord, that there be breakthroughs, that we understand and are quickened tonight, God, of Your love. In Your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Children can come to this side and find their teachers. Hallelujah. Says that He first loved me by just me receiving that love and just believing by faith, just believing that we can experience that love no matter what's going on, no matter where we are. The Bible says that while we were far off, you weren't even thinking about God. I want you to hear that. You weren't thinking about Him. I want you to hear this tonight. He's thinking about you. Well, I just pray that you hear my heart. I've been with God this week and just spending time with Him, and I'm telling you, I just feel that God's just declaring to me how much He loves you. I pray tonight that something will quicken within us and that we will just arise and step up higher in who we are in Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. I'm going to thank you. Appreciate that presence of God brings. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, we lost Billy Graham. A great man of God. A great man of God. And he was, this was years ago, this was back in 1950s, and Billy Graham was, he was at a crusade, and he was in town, and he was just walking around, and he was trying to find the post office, and he went up to a young man, and he was, he's wanting to mail a letter, and he seen a young man, he went up to him, he says, "Hey son," he says, "How are you doing?" He says, "I'm good." He says, "Do you know who I am?" He says, "No, I don't know who you are." He says, "I'm Billy Graham." He says, "Oh, that's nice." He said, "Well, can you tell me how to find the post office?" He said, "Yeah, it's right down there on the right." He said, "Listen, if you're not doing nothing tonight," he says, "listen, why don't you come to my service tonight?" And he says, "Well, this is what you do." He says, "Well, I can help you find God." And he looked at him, he said, "Listen, you can't find the post office. How are you going to help me find God?" That's a true story. Listen, tonight I want to let our hearts be open. And this is a message tonight. That we can see and understand that who we are in God. I believe that God desires us. Well, I know that God desires us through His Word. If I read this Word, and if I believe this Word, I begin to understand that there's power in this Word. That it changes our lives. And I want you to know that, listen, see, each one of us come to a place in our lives, and no matter where you are, whether or not you just began to walk after God, or you just began to seek God, or you just began to hear from God, or wherever you are in your walk, it's just like with us when we come to God, that when you're growing up, that we mature, that God desires us to mature. He desires us to mature. And I want you to understand the reason why God wants us to mature is because He wants to give us authority. Tell your neighbor He wants to give you authority. And I want to hopefully, I'll explain this tonight to the understanding that this is why sometimes churches have become no effect to that in the world. That we live in a world, in an atmosphere where people are hurting, people are dying, that we experience things in our schools. And I want you to know that God desires us to walk in His fullness as His children, to demonstrate who He is in the earth. And I want you to know that He died as a seed, that each one of us would receive Him, and that we would multiply. See, I want you to know that Jesus says it was expedient for me to go to the Father so that He could return, so that He could deposit in each one of us who He is on the earth. And I want you to look out tonight to understand that if we can understand the power that He has given to us as sons of God. Hallelujah. Listen, sons of God, not babies, but sons. Nothing wrong with babies. We're all there sometime, all right? Do I have something? Do I have my zipper down again? Is somebody something? I want you to help me tonight. Amen. Help me. Come on, saints. But I want you to get this and see this, that God has given us something to understand, that every one of us, and I want you to look around and look, that each one of us are the image of God and His likeness, each one of us, that God has created His image and likeness, that when we receive Christ into our lives, hallelujah, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. Do you believe that tonight? We talk about it, but listen, we're talking about God Almighty that desires to abide in me. That's got to get us excited. That's got to do something within us to see, wow, God desires to abide in me. I want you to know that sometimes what we think of ourselves, and we can't believe that, we have a hard time grabbing that and grabbing hold of that and comprehending. And listen, Paul said that I have been apprehended. Hallelujah. I've been apprehended by this, that this has gripped me. So I pray tonight that we get apprehended, that we step into what God has for us. And we can understand. Listen, I want you to know that this is why sometimes churches become boring and dull. Because I remember when I was growing up, and it's not supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be that way. That God says that when you receive and believe my word, that it will give you joy. You don't got joy. We need to believe by faith and grab hold of what God's word says and walk in it with power. So I want you to get this, and it doesn't come overnight, but it begins little bit by little bit that you grab hold of it and you take hold of that word for your life. I'm going to give you some scriptures that we write them down, we put them in our hearts, we meditate on. We say, I'm going to believe that word, I'm going to take hold of that. And so when I was growing up, as a little kid, I was at that difficult stage. I've always been at a difficult stage. But now I want you to see this, understand. I want you to get this because there's different stages of our life. There's different stages of our walk with God where that when you come in that you are a child of God, that we're infants, that we come in, we're just receiving it, we're taking it all in. It's awesome, man. You just experience that. If you haven't experienced that, you need to. Just experience that love that just of that Father that God pours upon us that we can just by faith receive nothing you do. Not by works, but by faith we just believe. So God desires to pour who He is into you, His love, that expression of who He is. And so as a baby, you're at that baby, you don't say much, you don't have much to do, you can't really do much. But then all of a sudden you begin to grow and you become like an adolescent. You begin to grow up a little bit. Say grow up. I believe that sometimes this is where we are in the church and we stick at this place. This place where that kind of holds us here, that, and this is why people aren't comfortable. This is why sometimes people don't don't receive the fullness of what God has for them because they stay in that place. And I've been in that place. I understand how that sometimes we stay in that place because, tell your neighbor, it's safe. It is not far. I'm 50 years old. I'm lying. I'm sorry. I'm 48. You see that growing eye? Listen, so I want you to get this. At 50 years old, but as you're growing in that place and you're growing, that you're safe there, that you live with mom and dad. This is my daughter, man. She don't know. I remember when I was in a youth leader, and I began to tell the kids that were right at that age, they're ready to go out, and you probably remember this. You might have been right in there because it was David that said this. And he's sitting right in a youth meeting 30 years ago. I don't want to say that. But he's sitting right in there, and I begin to tell these kids, and I begin to tell them that, and not to scare them, but to get them understanding that, listen, don't be alone, don't be afraid. You got to know that God loves you, God's with you. And but, he says, that life happens. Tell your neighbor, life happens. You all know that, right? And here's the thing. So I began to share this with them. I began to tell them, listen, you're going to get your electric bill, your sewer bill, your car payment, your all. And I went through a whole list. I had it all written down. You all know them. And he stood up and he said, stop there, you're scaring me. Because it's scary. And we like to just come and just sit and take hold of something. And we've all been there. We just hear something, and you just don't become accountable. You get it, and you just go, and you bump into God next week, and that's what happens sometimes. But I want you to know that, listen, that is not what God wants you to experience, because He wants you to feel and know the greatness of who He is. He wants you to know all that He is, hallelujah, that He's the God, He's your Creator, that He wants to pour into you, He wants to give you everything that He has, all that He has given the Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to give you His sons. But I want you to know that being a son takes us to come out of where we were before. And I remember, and you'll remember this, whether you had your baby dolls, and you're at that stage, and you kept them in your closet, you kept them back because you still wanted them. Can you remember this? I remember having my army men. I remember having my toy guns and all that stuff. And I remember some of the younger kids coming over to, Chris, come on, we're going to go out and play. And you want to go. But then when you go, it just don't feel right. Randy, you know what that's like, right? You're out there in the woods and you're thinking, you just don't feel right. You feel like, I don't know, this isn't natural. This isn't what it used to be because it was just fun. What happened? And then you're like, what's going on? Something's going on inside your face and you're getting aches and pains and goofy things going on. It's a scary place. But God knows that. And God says, I'm going to walk with you through these things. And it's my love that's going to draw you out of that place that you don't stay in it. Because I want you to experience my greatness. I want to put into you all that I have. I want you to walk it out on earth. I want you to demonstrate it. I want you to do my business. Jesus says, I am about my Father's business. He demonstrated what a son was like in the earth. When there was something wrong, when there was somebody that was sick, he just didn't walk past it, but he reached out. He loved those ones. He fed the broken. That expression of God was released in the earth. Something came forth out of him. And man, people would look at Jesus when Jesus would do things, did miracles. He demonstrated who God was on the earth. And when he did these miracles, they would look and they would say, he's got authority. He says, there's something that he does. There's power in what he does. I want you to know that, listen, God can never give us authority as being little kids. We're still playing baby dolls. My dad, listen, I knew that I couldn't play with baby dolls. But I couldn't do that anymore. And I knew that, man, I was growing up because I knew there was a responsibility. My dad was having me do things. I knew that I wanted to go a different direction. I wanted to have a car. I wanted dad to give me the keys. I wanted to go. I wanted to go out and cruise around. Be cool. But I had to be at a place before my dad gave me the keys that he could hand me the keys and say, go, son. I had to be in a place of authority that he was willing to give me, willing to trust. That he seen it in my heart and he knew that you're ready, son. And it wasn't, I want you to know that God, dad gave me the keys. And I'll tell you what, son, I don't know if I was ready. And listen, I told my daughter, listen, because of me, you're in trouble. I was 16 when I started driving. You're going to be 19. You know that's a new law, honey. Everybody go with me on this, all right? How old are you at the drive? Barb, stay with me. 19. Kristen's got to believe this. She's way more responsible. I'm going to give her the keys. Amen. Come on. But I want you to see something. I want us to know. Let's go ahead and go to Luke 15. I'm just going to jump and just share something with you. And this is about sons. Before we go in that, I always like to read what was happening before. And I want you to know the audience that is before me, the people that are around us, I understand that sometimes I don't ever say to myself, well, oh, I got to preach because so-and-so is going to be here. I never know. I know my wife will be here. But I don't know. So I trust God to put in my heart. I want you to hear me and understand something. I don't take it lightly. This moment, right now, I believe it's powerful. I believe that God wants us to walk in all that He has. Either we believe it or we don't. God wants us to walk in authority. God wants to take from Him all that He has. So that we can demonstrate to the earth. And here's what it says. This is a problem. Because the Scripture says that this man had two sons. And I don't know if I'll get in time of it, but there's two sons, and it represents to me, this is what God was sharing to me, about how that there's two sons that are like in the church, that are in the house of God, that have a different experience with God in different ways. And I don't think we'll get to the one that stayed in a house, but he had some issues too. And that's been the problem, because the church has acted like they had it all together, and they try to project something to other ones with no authority and no power and no love. You need to get things together. I ain't going to say it. But listen, let me just say this real quick. We have to take it serious in a sense with this church, every one of us, what God's saying to us. That we look at one another and come into unity and oneness with one another. I want you to hear, listen, I feel with all my heart that when you come against somebody that's a believer, you can take my hand. This is my sister, if anybody didn't know. I kissed her last week, and my wife said, hey, somebody don't know that's your sister. You kiss me on the cheek?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But I want you to see that we be one with one another. We got to understand, listen, I do not want to stand in the way with the unity, what flows down from God. Because what happens is, when you disrupt that unity and that power, you disrupt that anointing that flows down, that thing that causes us to come together, to be one together, to believe in one another, to walk through one another. We need to come together like never before. We need to be the church that God has intended us to be. Amen? Come on, we need to come in oneness and unite in one another, believe in one another. I need you to believe in me. I need to believe in you. I need to know what you're going through. I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. I want to pray for you. And I promise you, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you get through everything you're going through. And it's hard. And God knows what you're going through. And God wants to give you a strength like never before. And you're all alone. You might feel like you're alone. You'd be in a room with everybody. I'm telling you, you're not alone. You're not alone. Say it. You're not alone. Come on, that's faith, believing. Come on. All right. Listen, so here is that Jesus is demonstrating something. He's talking about things that are lost. Lost. He says there's sheep that was lost, there was a coin that was lost, there was a son that was lost. But before that, if we could look here, the next verse, I'd like to go ahead and see what he was trying to share here. Did you just start talking about lost things? Or here's what he says. This is the last scripture. It says, and if neither, he says, salt is good. But if it's salt, have lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be seasoned? He says, it is neither fit for the land nor for dunghill, But a man cast it out, and he that hath ear, let him hear what he is saying. I want you to understand that he's talking to those that are lost, that they are sons. Say sons. He's talking about ones that I'm dealing with the church, I'm dealing with us, about God talking to us growing up. And he's saying, listen, that salt, that they have tasted you, and you've got to agree with me and understand that the church hasn't been a good taste to those that are in the world. That we haven't been that. We haven't been that authority. That we haven't been the authority or the answer that they're looking for. And we're supposed to have. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if He's in me, I need to be the answer for those that are desperate, that are searching. That I have the light within me to share to those that are lost and broken. I need to be the light to them. I need to understand the importance of me being salt to the earth. The flavor. The flavor. You know why it's so bad and things are bad? Because we haven't been the world's flavor that God has put us here to be. The seasoning. Whew, that they can look and they can say, I got to get to church tonight. Because it's good. It's good. It's good. That you're not walking out of here beat up and thinking, I'll never amount to anything. But no, I want you to know that what He did for you is enough. And know that if you believe in faith, that you can walk this thing out. I want you to know that what God has for us is not just some other day, but it's for today. Say now. So I want you to know, listen, the church has kind of put it off for some other day. But God wants us to understand that it's for now. He has died that we can have life and have life more abundant. Listen, He wants us to lay hands on the sick that they recover. Who needs healed in heaven? What person is in darkness in heaven? What person is broken in heaven? No, but let it be on earth as it is in heaven. And I put you here to demonstrate who I am to them that are out there. That those who are lost, that you, hallelujah, because I'm in you, be the way that they see. And I'm going to trust you to do this. And I want you to know that sometimes pastors are uncomfortable to do this because people say, we're afraid to be responsible. Because why? It's comfortable to live in daddy's house and not pay rent. I tried to get a room at the Haven. Beth told me I couldn't do it. I need to watch over my parents. Rent free. Come on, let me. All right. So I want you to see that He's showing something, that there's something that's lost. There's an authority, a power that's been lost. And He wants to show us something in this Scripture. I hope that you see this tonight. Amen? All right, God, I pray to God, Lord, that You declare this to us right now as we grab hold of this. Luke 11. Let's go ahead into it. Luke 11. Are you guys warm? You're good, okay. Sometime you guys will say, no, it's really hot, Pastor. Please turn that down. Luke 15, I'm sorry. Where am I at here? Are you ready? All right. And it says there was a certain man who had two sons. He says, and the younger of them said to the father, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto him his living. What did he give to him? His living, a portion. That word living means life. It means bio. I want you to know that that's what Jesus declared to us. He says, I've come to give you life, but not just life. Life, that's zoe. That's a different experience. That's a greater dimension that we can walk in. He said, I've come to give you bio. I've come to give you life. And we experience that portion of it when He saved us, when we get saved, that there's a portion. Say portion. And I want you to know that the Bible says, He says that we have a portion, but we're not just supposed to have a portion of Christ, but we have the fullness, that we come into the full maturity of Christ, that we come into the full stature, that we grow up, that we're not half grown. But we take hold of it, that we're not still drinking milk, We're not just eating bread, but we're eating meat. And I want you to know that every one of those aren't lesser, because guess what? When you get to the place where you're in sonship, you're eating every one of them, drinking the milk and eating the bread and the meat. Amen? Every one of those dimensions of God. But I want us to see that as you progress in here, that God's declaring and showing to him that, listen, he gave him a portion of what he's to have. I want you to know that that's what God bestows upon us, that when we come to him, that we begin to, is released. In him, in the fullness of him, in the Spirit, we receive everything that he has for us. Everything. Say everything. But I want you to know that we begin to experience it by faith. Faith. As we begin to walk it out. As we begin to be led, as Robin says, in the Spirit. That we are led until... I'm going to give you that scripture real quick because you're looking at me funny. Romans 8:14. Are you all right tonight? We're going to do communion, so... He says this, he says, hang on, let me get it. Romans 8:14. He says, for many are led by the Spirit of God. They are what? See, it's when we're willing to be led, do we walk in sonship. When we're willing to be led. When you're willing to be at that place. And I want you to know, this is where abundant life is. This is where you walk in it daily. I don't want to just have it on a Sunday. I just don't want to have it on Saturday. I don't want to have it on Saturday. I don't want to just have it Wednesday. But I want to walk in the fullness. I want to be led by God daily. I want God to lead me. I want God to bring me to where I need to be. I want God to put me in the right places. I want God to trust me that I can hear from him, that I walk in that, that something within me, that my wife can depend on me listening to God. Hallelujah. That my children can respond to me because I have a voice from God to speak into her life. That you can trust me as a pastor to be, because I'm led by the Spirit of God. That you open your hearts, that we walk together and are led together in the Spirit of God. Amen? Listen, and he says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Listen, that word adoption means to place. That means to be placed. It's to place. That's what that word means. And that word means children to sonship. That you go from being a sonship, that we come into the adoption of sonship. That we come from that place, that we go from there being placed into sonship. Being placed in a place where that God gives us the authority that we walk in. Come on, amen? You with me tonight? All right. And then at that place that we're willing to say, Abba, Father. We're willing to cry, Father. That we're in that relationship, that we have to be willing in that place to begin to respond to God as Father. To open our hearts. Say, you're my Father. Listen, let's go back. Luke 15. I want to share this. There's a lot in this right here. He says that he would divide unto them his living, that he divided him. He gave him what he needed. I want you to know that God loves us, even at that place where that... I want you to know that when I left that place with my father, when I decided that I was leaving home, I thought I had it all together. I thought, he says, you're not done with high school, son. I said, well, I don't feel like going to it anymore. He said, well, you're going to feel like doing it in here. Nah. Well, then you're not going to be here. I love you. But you got to choose what you want to do. And I left home and I went, and guess what? Not very long. Just like this prodigal son, I found out that daddy had more than what I had. I realized that my father had more, that I needed to be where he was, because where I was didn't have what I needed. I want you to know that God loves you and God will let you go. I want you to know that God's not insecure about you finding something that you love more than him. Listen, He's willing to let you go. Why? Because you'll never find anything greater than His love for you. When God has touched you, when God has reached within you, when you let God touch you as a child of God, as you let Him touch you and you experience who He is, that you don't build up walls, but you let them break down, and you accept that God loves you, when you do that, it begins to do something within you. It'll pull you. Amen? I remember the one thing. There was nothing anybody said, but I remember the word that got me back into church. You know what it was? I was a disgrace. I was an embarrassment to the Kaufman name. Long-haired hippie. I used to try to just be a jerk. I used to bring crazy girlfriends to church just to be an eyesore to my dad. I ain't going to tell you the rest. But somebody stepped in my life. That I was hurt by church, and they were, some of that times they weren't tasteful, that they didn't taste good. And I said, if that's God, I don't want them. You ever been there? Help me tonight. If that's God, I don't want anything like it. But I was touched by somebody that knew the love of God, that had it within them, hallelujah, that was within them. I want this to be this. I want us to be at that place where you're hungry for it, because you've been touched by God, that you love the Father, and you know what He's done for you. You know who He is. And at that place, that person walked up to me, reached into my hand, and looked at me in the eyes and says, I want you to know something. Remember, I was raised in church. We sang the song, Jesus loves me. Well, the Bible. But I had no clue. But one moment, at one time, someone with the power of God's love inside them looked me in the eyes. In my decay, in my filth, in who I was so far away from God, I had no desire to be near God, but said one word to me, looked me in the eyes and says, Jesus loves you. This I know. That was it. And I couldn't wait to get out of the room, because I ran to my car, put my head down. I had to confront at that moment my heart, because I was desperate for life. I was doing everything I could just to get by. I ran out of my portion. I ran of what I had, just like this prodigal son, that he ran out of what he had. Have you ever been there? I want you to know that that's what happens. God will let us do that. Run out of our own self. That we run and we hit a brick wall. That we get a flat tire. Why? So that we can take hold of all that He is in the fullness of it. That we're not running out misrepresenting who He is. That eventually we'll run out. Listen. And he says, and many days after, the younger son gathered all that he had. He ran out fast. He ran out fast. I want you to know that this is what happens sometimes with us, that if we try to do it in our own strength, that's religion. If you try to just be good, or just come to church and pay your tithe and do your thing, you'll run out. And you'll wonder why this isn't working for you. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to help you. Give us hope and understanding. I don't want just religion. I want the experience of knowing God. I want Zoe. I want to walk in abundance. If I can't believe that or know that, then I don't know what I'm doing. But I want to walk in all that God has for me. Everything He says. That 2 weeks ago we said that I want to walk in the promises of God. That we've seen that book that I seen that I brought out here. And it was put in a corner. It was in a box. It was dusty. And God says, are you going to stop? I want you to walk in my promises. Everything that I said that you can walk in, I want you to walk in. I said, well, I don't know, God. That's a lot of responsibility. Well, here, it's up to you. Because you understand that this is why I died. Not just that you would be saved, but that you can have life abundantly. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that nobody would perish. I want you to know that there's Christians out there that are perishing. Listen, their life here on earth are perishing. Their place in heaven is good. Say good. But their lives aren't effective. And they have no hope. I say, oh, Christians that are addicted, that are broken, that are hurting, and they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. They've been pushed around. They've been neglected. They've been hurt. They've been broken by the church, and they haven't heard the truth. I'm here to give us the truth, that we walk in the truth of what God has for us, that we don't have to be pushed around anymore, that we can stand up knowing that I am a son of God. I am a son of God. I am called by His name. We talked about it last week in Romans 8. It says that I am justified by God. I am justified. I've been predestined. I've been called. Who says to me that I am not justified when God says I'm justified? Who before me? If God was with me, who could be against me? Somebody tell me. See, this is what God wants. God wants us to walk in that fullness. He says that He spent everything and wasted on substance. And when He had spent all, there arose a great famine in the land and began to be in want. Every one of us have, I know many Christians, and it's not to be that way. And here they are, he says that He began to be in want. He was a son. Was he a son? But he thought he had it together, just like a teenager, an adolescent, where he thought that he answered. Do you know we do it every day? Whether we don't pay attention, we're not being led by God. What are we being, teenagers? This is good. Come on, help me tonight. I'm excited because God's sharing something with us that we can walk in and walk out of what God has for us today. The promises He has. So He said to them, He says, He spent everything. God will let you spend what you got. And He'll say to you, with love in His heart, are you done yet? Are you ready to come back home? The Bible says in Romans, it says that He intercedes on my behalf. I want you to know that you might not be praying, but it says that we have an intercessor that stands before the Father. He lives to intercede on your behalf. He intercedes on your behalf. That when you're not praying to Him, I want you to know that He's praying to the Father for you. He's crying out for you. I want you to know, you know what happens when you begin to agree with Jesus? You begin to pray like He prays. You begin to agree with what He says about you. Something will begin to change. Something will turn in our lives. Something will be uprooted. Hallelujah. Things we couldn't do on. We'll begin to produce fruit in our lives. No longer being stolen from or broken into because we've invested in things that are rust and fade away. But I want to invest in who the Spirit of God and what He says in His Word that is eternal, that's everlasting, that's power. Changes things. The Bible says the Word of God is power. Power and has life. Life. If you just believe. Amen? That's all right. I'll get louder. It's okay. You go, baby. Piper. Amen. Come on. People wonder about that. I'm just going to say, listen. I love the sound of children. Amen? That means you got a church that's growing. Say growing. I've had people sometimes say things about the children, and you want to get your pastor angry, and sin not. Said some things about children you shouldn't. That's why kids sometimes say, "Well, I don't want to be there." Meanie. All right, I'm just. You love me. Listen, I'm going to get through this. He says that he come to the end of that adolescence. We come to that place. He says, and this is where this man is. I want you to know that God always brings us, and sometimes don't go in cycles. Because listen, we got to experience and take hold of what God has for us at that moment when God speaks to our hearts. It just doesn't get better. But if we're willing at that point, I want to share with you what took place. I want to share with you what happened. The moment that he just stopped and said, do this no more. Come on, you've been there in your life. I just can't do this no more. I can't run on my own help. I'm running out of gas. I have no peace in my life. I have no joy. And God's standing there. He's ready to release everything He has to you. Amen? He says, but I want you to believe. I want you to receive it. He says, and he said, and he spent all that he has, and he went and he joined himself with a citizen. He was doing everything that he could to fix the situation. He went to every church that he could. I want you to know the change begins in here. Sometimes you do need to change church. If your pastor's not on fire in love with Jesus, run! Run! My My bishop's in love with Jesus. I talk to him all the time. And he loves God, serving God for years, and he's still in love with God, with everything within him. That causes a fire to burn in me. Apostle Valentine, 70-some years old, he's on fire for God. He can't stop. He can't stay in South Africa. He's going everywhere because he's in love with God. He's salt flavor. So listen, so he spent everything. He says he found himself. I want you to get this. I want you to hear this. I wrote this down. He found, where did he find himself? Let's just look at it. He went and joined himself with the citizen, and he sent him into the fields to sign. Sometimes you're going to try to get answers from people that not from God, and you're not going to get the right answers. You're going to try to fix your problem with the same thing that got you in the problem. Well, I'm going to get another loan out to pay this loan. Whatever we're fixing the problem with that didn't work the first time, don't do it again. We were talking about this. Because it'll keep you in that place. It'll keep you pulled down. It'll bind you. Listen, but God's our answer. He's for everything. I want you to know that He knows your finances. And there's people here tonight, I want you to know, that when we begin to walk in God, and God's trusting God, I want you to know that we're walking in breakthrough financially. We're walking in breakthrough financially. That God does not want us to be the borrower, but I desire with everything within me to lend to those that are hurting and broken. To walk out, because I know what it's like to be in a place where you can't pay your bills. I know what it's like to be desperate and backed up against the wall. I know what it's like to hurt. I know what it's like not to have enough. But I want you to know that, listen to me, I know that God wants to put on some people that they have that God trusts them, that they're able to release what they got. They don't hold it in their hand, but they release it. I want you to know that when you release what God gives you, you can't stop what overflows upon you. Come on, amen? See, that's what sons do. Sons don't hold on to it. They're willing to let it go. Because, help me, Jesus. Are you okay just for a second, please? I don't preach this long usually. I don't go past 8. Do I? So I'm just trying to, because I know our attention spans, but I just feel I want you to get this. Amen? I believe we're hungry. I'm hungry. God's teaching me. He wants me to walk in this. Dangerous. I like dangerous. And he says, and he went and joined himself. He says, and he joined fame. He says, and he filled himself his belly with a husk of swine that, and no man gave him. He was living in where? In a pig pen. He was living in a pig pen. I want you to know that that's what it will bring us to. Listen what pigs are. Hey, thanks, Sherry. She comes down from Walmart on her lunch break. That's pretty cool. I pray that you get fed. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Light up Walmart. Amen. Light it up. It needs it. It needs it. Hallelujah. God sent somebody like that to step in there. Amen. Listen. Here's what pigs are. Pigs are things in your life that hog your time, your talent, and your treasure. That's what hogs are. That's what pigs are. They hog up your time, your talents, and your treasure. They pull that life right out of you. And they get you stuck. I want you to know the enemy wants us to be broken, busted. Wants us to be penniless. Because if he gets your wallet, he gets that place, he begins to get your joy, because we need that to survive. So I want you to see here that he says when he began to get that, he found himself in that squall, in that place where he couldn't get up, he was stuck. It was like in that place where you get. But I want you to see where things turned around, because it's about ready to turn around. Because at that moment it says that he says, and when he came to himself. See, because he was a son, he was a child of God. That's not who he should be. That's not who he says he became. Look down, what am I doing here? How did I get here? How did I find, what happened here? And he began to remember who he was. He began to remind himself. The Bible says in Ephesians, he says that I'm by the renewing of my mind. Let's look at that real quick. Run that out real quick. Ephesians 4, 22, 23. He came to himself. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That your mind be renewed. That it begins to be renewed. Do you know what that means? Listen, he was a son. He knew who He was. I want you to know that there's Christians out there that forget who they are because of the trouble they're in, because of the filth they're in, because of what somebody lied to them about. And they find themselves in that place. But you know what? That word renew means this. When you get a magazine and you need a new one, what do? You renew your subscription. God says, I want you to renew what I've already given you. You're my son. I want you to know that sometimes we get in and you make mistakes. But He says, listen, you just stop, stand on the ground, begin to remind yourself who you are. You're a child of the Most High God. Begin to stir that gift within you like He declared to the disciple. I want you to stir up what's within you. Stand up, hallelujah. You're greater than this. There's more in you than what's in the world. Stand up on your two feet. Stand up, you're son of God. And He says, and renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, that you put on the new man. Who are? What is the new man? That I am a brand new in Christ. All things are passed away. This is God's word, right? Okay, wait a minute. Ready? All things have become. So what are you reminding God about? Because He doesn't know anymore, because you're brand new in Him. He doesn't see you in that dimension. But He sees you in Him. So He doesn't... You need to remind yourself who you are. He's already told you. He's already declared to you who you are in Him. So you need to grab that word and say, Lord, I'm brand new in Him. All things have become new. All things. When you're reminded of your past, you know what the enemy will do? He'll remind you of who you used to be, who your fleshly daddy was, or who wasn't to you in your life. But He's saying to us right here that because of Christ, that I have a new Father, a Heavenly Father, that I begin to reach for a Heavenly Father. Amen? That I begin to, I am born in the Spirit. And all things have become new. All things. You with me? Listen, He says, because that will hold us down. It will remind us about our natural birth or our natural beginnings that began in sin. It will remind us of all the mistakes. But God doesn't want to get our eyes on that, but He wants us to get us our eyes upon the heavenlies of what He's done for us. Let me finish. He says, but sometimes what happens, that truth will fall among thorns and it will choke it. And it doesn't bring forth fruit. But He came to His senses. He says, and when He came to Himself, He said, how hired servants of my Father's house. He began to remind Himself that in my Father's house, the servants have bread. They have everything they need. I want you to see the power of this that He's declaring. He began to see of His Father's goodness. He began to remind Himself. Somebody might have told you that God's not a good Father. Somebody might have told you that it's not worth going back or you can't go back. He doesn't want you. I want you to know it's a lie. Because He began to renew His mind and His thinking. He began to get Him back to a place where He was able to receive what the Father gave Him. He was reminding Himself what it was like with the Father. He was reminding Himself what it was like, that He loves me. He loves me, and He just began to believe. Listen what happens. And He says, I will... He says, if I stay here, I'll perish. So I will rise. I want you to get this and understand this. Praise Him, come on. I'm going to move us out of the way. We're going to take communion. While they're getting ready... Listen. He says, that moment, do you know what it was? This is what God's love does. It's God's love that when we let it in, let it speak to our hearts, it'll arrest us. Just like it did to me whenever I accepted that He loves me. That simple word. I want you to know that love that God has for you is so powerful. See, it was that love that it brought forth Christ out of the grave. It was that love that couldn't keep Him in there, couldn't separate Him from the Father. That's the Word of God says. Nothing can separate me, neither death. So when He was in that place, nothing could separate Him. I want you to know that each one of us can understand and grab that for our lives. That you could be at a place where you're empty spiritually, but He's saying, listen, nothing can separate that love that I have for you. Nothing. That if we arise in it, that if we lift up our eyes and begin to believe with all of our heart and say, God, I trust You. Lord, that You bring me to that place that I trust You again. That I believe again. Listen, somebody get Kelly. Is she going here? Mimsy, you can wait a second until Kelly comes. I want you to remember the scriptures. I give this last one to you. Pretty much know it by heart. Kelly, come on, you come up and get communion. We're ready. So everything that I said, I want you to get this. Right here. This is what this loves to you. This is what this means to us, as we can hold on to it and grab it with everything within us. See, Jesus walked in this. And He was a Son. And He represented His Father's love to us that we can receive it and take hold of it. And this is what Jesus did with authority, that He had resurrection life within Him. He had love within Him. He had the love of God that was within Him. And He believed it. Tell your neighbor He believed it. And at the moment whenever He was standing, He walked into church. And everybody was acting holy. But see, Jesus wasn't doing an act. He was letting that life and reality of God touch everybody around Him. He was upsetting everything because He wasn't here to play games. He was here to do what the Father has called Him to do, and I'm not giving up till I'm done. I will walk and fulfill the race that God has put me here on this earth to do. I want you to know you're looking for purpose. God has it in your life that we trust in Jesus. And as He went, it says that He stood. It says that He walked up to the stage and He unrolled the scriptures. And this is what He said. Luke 4:18. And He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. I want you to know that at that moment with this young man where he was, out of that pit, and he reminded himself that, wait a minute, what am I doing here? But I'm anointed. This is what Jesus declared. He says, to preach the good news. I'm not here to receive bad news, to believe a bad report, but I'm standing up because that's not who I am. And it says, I am here to preach to the brokenhearted. Not to be brokenhearted anymore. Not to be broken down, be busted. He says, but I am here to heal those ones. I'm here to preach to the poor, not to be poor. Because I'm rich. I'm blessed of God. I have all I need. He says, and He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Not to break hearts. Not to wound people. Not to break them. There to be life to them, to help them. That Jesus stood up. Because listen to me, all these people knew was religion. All these people knew of what it was to be heartful. These people walked around, the Pharisees and Sadducees, religious. And they would despise. It was distasteful. It wasn't who God was. I want you to know you might have had a bad taste of God, but I want you to know that we can see what a true son is. When Jesus stood up and He declared that, He said that I preach deliverance. I preach deliverance. That what comes out of my mouth is not captivity, that I'm not captive. I'm not held in bondage. No, I don't need to be there no more. Why? Because I have life within me. I have God within me. I'm a son of God. That's what Jesus said with authority. And it says, He says that I am called to recover the sight of the blind, those that can't see. God says, I'm depending upon You. That my children that are out there that don't know Me, to light the world up. To light up their surroundings. To step into their darkness and love them like I would. Be see hope to the hopeless. I've called you to do that. You have my authority. And Jesus stood. He declared it. He says that I want to give liberty to those that have been bruised in church, those that have been broken by their parents, that have failed them, those that have failed them, that tried to love them, but they made a mistake because they did it in natural love. I want you to understand that this is spirit. God never fails you. His love never fails you. When we take that true love, it never fails. Tell someone never fails. He says to preach the acceptable year. Say now. Next verse. This is ridiculous. This is where it gets busy. I'm done. He says in here, close the book. You ready? And he sat down. He sat down. And everybody there, was their eyes were upon him. I want you to know the enemy does not want you to step into sonship. He's doing everything he has from the moment you were born to derail you, to cause you to give up, to cause you to not believe that you're a son of God, to cause you to run in fear and have fear in your life and not believe that God can love me, Chris Kaufman of Newcastle, Pennsylvania, that God could put me in this place to preach His Word. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That God could place you there to sing the songs about Him. God will put us where you're at. That God placed you where you are with your children. That you could be a light to them. That you could be hope for all these babies. That you could show them what the Father's love really is. And it says He sat down, which means this to me. We argue with what God says. Well, I don't know about me. I don't know if it's meant to be. I don't know if I can do that. Jesus shut the book. This is what sons do. They shut the book and they sit down. Tell someone, sit down. I want you to know that we'll never get out of the pit until we know where we sit. And I'm seated with Him in the heavenlies. I don't have to fight to get to God. Jesus has given me a seat of authority. He's given me a place just like He has for all of you. He's given you a place that you can stand up and say, arise and shine. For my light has come. Come on, stand to your feet. Arise and shine. Oh, God, hallelujah. Listen, tonight we are receiving communion. I want everybody to come. I want you to know that because of this bread, because of this word, God's word, that we believe it, will change your life. I dare you. I dare you just to begin to take hold of it. Just begin to chew it up. Chew it up everything He says. Oh, can I have that, God? Yeah, that's you. That's you. Well, can I believe that, God? Oh, that I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, God? I can go to those that are broken, that are hurt, those that are poor, God, that you can use me, that you trust me to be help them financially, that I can they can take hold of what I have. I can get them out of their poverty. You trust me, God? Thank you, God. I want that. Not for my own, but that I, because I've seen it. I'm tired of God looking bad. I'm tired of my father. The representation, Jesus walked into the house of God, flipped over the table, and said, this is the house of prayer. This isn't the house that God built. You're holy because He says you're holy. Because of what He did. Come on, you come on out. And because of what this has done, this is the blood. You can let Him out. This is the blood of Jesus. I won't get into it, but listen. The Bible says that Abel is crying out from the ground with vengeance. But the Bible says that the blood of Christ cries out with mercy. I want you to know that I can believe what comes from the earth, keep me in poverty, keep me in brokenness, or I can believe what God said in the heavenlies and hear what Jesus' blood speaks. And it says, I have mercy, mercy, mercy. I want to bless you. I want to love you. You believe that tonight? Come on, come get some. Come on, come take hold of what God has. In Jesus' name, take hold of this in Jesus' name. Come on, this is His body that He's given for us. Hallelujah. This is the blood that is washed away. Hallelujah. Everything that's been broken, everything that was hurting, it's that blood right there. Hallelujah. Wash away my sins. Wash away.
Open me, I am my heart. I want to see.
loves you. I can't make this up. I can't love strangers. I'm going to touch God. When God makes you flavor, when God makes you the salt, when you begin to agree with it, stop listening to lie. Come to yourself and believe who you are. What God says you are. Brand new. Come on, say brand new. Brand new. Not reconditioned. Not put back. No, no, no. Brand new. All things. God's love. I want you this week to taste it and walk in it and just believe. I'm telling you, it's dangerous. I'm dangerous, listen. It's dangerous when you just begin to believe that when you're going through the worst things in your life, but you're standing in it, and something comes in you, that life, that love of God causes to quicken you, causes you to stand up, and you shouldn't be shouting, you should be crying, you should be have your head under the covers and giving up, but when you believe God's love for you, it'll cause you to get up and run. Try it. Tomorrow morning, get up, read a scripture, and believe it in Jesus' name. Bless you, and you will say with all your heart. You have a snack downstairs. Get a snack before you go. Love on somebody. It's Renee's birthday. Go give her a hug. Come on, love on somebody. Hallelujah. Bring a friend next week. You're something right to the world. Someone that's hurt.